Sabbath blessings, everyone. Oh, I'm echoing. There it goes. All right. If you can heal, please do so. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. We worship you. And we love you. Thank you for giving us what we need day by day, hour by hour, and even minute by minute. Thank you for guiding us in these last days with all the strange things that are happening and all the confusion that's out there in the world. Thank you for giving us the words of truth to help the people realize that the leaders are lying to them so as to unready the people for the arrival of your Son. Thank you for giving us the strength to stand firm, blessing us with your presence as we gather today on Sabbath, and thank you for changing the showbread like you do every time we open your word. And thank you for forgiving us, cleansing us, and blessing us with the latter rain, if we are so worthy, and letting us be alive in these days, and blessing everyone that's in attendance, everyone on the prayer list, and all the prayer requests that were placed in the room. And we offer this prayer and these praises unto you in the name of your Son, our Savior and King for all eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Amen to that, Brother Duane. That's exactly what's happening. We are that close to the end to where we're going to see some strange things happening with people that would ordinarily be considered part of the brethren. Hey, Fran, is there a reason your hand's up? Do you want me to drop the mic? All right. Okay, no biggie. So, okay. Well, praise the Lord, we're back online, but keep us in prayer because we still haven't... I have a video server, but it's not... It's just generic. It's just like an archive kind of a thing. I mean, you can still get the videos and all that, but it's not the prettiest thing in the world. YouTube pulled a video, as you all know, that I put up in 2018, so obviously it was just someone that hates the truth and hates the work we're doing that complained, I guess, because if you saw my blog entry from 2 weeks ago, you'll see that just in the course of 15 or 20 minutes, I went on YouTube and I found the exact same video that I posted, but I spoke about it, and you know, where the Catholic priest was slapping that little baby. The exact same video, I found it on 16 other YouTube channels, and some of them got over 40,000 hits, but yet they're still online. They not only removed mine, but they gave us a strike and said if it happens two more times, that we're out of here. But that's, you know, that's okay. We're already prepared. The Lord is, you know, it's just like with Goliath smirking at David, you know. How well did that work out? Not too good. So, you know, just like, I mean, take for example Google, which owns YouTube. They have been censoring my website for many, many years. But yet the Lord keeps getting people to go to it. You don't need Google. You know, you can use DuckDuckGo or Yahoo or Bing or anything like that. And or you don't, you know, or Google, because people that you do use Google link me out, and that's how people end up on my site using Google too. So they can censor me all they want; it's not going to work. If the Lord wants someone there, they're going to be there. So praise His mighty name. We're back on the stream. So as we know, and we discussed this last Sabbath, our Lord cleanses the sanctuary in a miraculous way, in the exact same miraculous way that He cleanses our hearts. But many are unaware regarding our part in cleansing the sanctuary as well. You know, we got to do our part. As Christ is cleansing the temple in heaven from 6,000 years of sins. A long time, and it's from all those people that have accepted Him as Lord since Adam and Eve fell. So every, because that's what Jesus is doing now. He's in the heavenly sanctuary, as we know, and He's cleaning it Well, he's going to get ready to clean it, actually, at the end of the Day of Atonement and all that. But for, you know, for those that refuse to accept his free gift of salvation, the filth of their sin has to remain on them. Because, see, that's one of the beauties of Christ. It's a free gift. He's given it to them, but if they don't want it, he can't force them, you know. So as he does this for his faithful bride, should not we, his chosen people, do all we can to work with our Lord as we stand here on earth, you know, awaiting the day that we ascend with him? And so shouldn't we, as the obedient people of old, seek to rid the soul temple of every defilement as they prepare for the Day of Atonement, you know, the spiritual Day of Atonement? And yes, this is why we're hated, because the enemy souls that's inside the people that look upon us gets angry with us, because they know they can't walk the walk that we walk. And it's not about us walking the walk so much, because we can't do it either. That's why Jesus says, it is by their fruits you shall know them. You know, it's Christ helping us do this walk. And they can walk that way too, as long as they accept him as Savior. So, but, you know, there's certain things that, and they know what they're doing is wrong, but they just simply won't stop doing them, because they don't believe that Jesus would judge them unworthy of heaven if they continue to do this or do that. You know, he's not going to change his Bible just because you don't believe he's going to do something. But not only must we do this, but as we can see by the 5 p.m. studies the last few months on Sabbath day, that our very own mortal bodies must be cleansed from everything that weakens them, so that we can receive the blessing of physical and cognitive power granted unto us. I mean, would we not be held accountable if we eat the unclean foods that sicken us, or smoke the tobacco or the other harmful weeds that poison us, or even drink alcohol that destroys organs, wherein not only do we have biblical truths declaring all of these things weaken, sicken, and defile the body, we also now, being in the very last days, we have modern scientific proof confirming that to indulge in such things that the Bible says you shouldn't eat or drink do in fact cause people to die much earlier than those that do not eat it. I'm not going to go into that study. I wanted to, so many, because I shared this so many times about, you know, how they showed that they actually brought up Seventh-day Adventists. This was like about 70 years ago or something. And they showed how they, back then, now it's not the same, because they don't even adhere to the biblical diet anymore. Most of them. Not all of them. So, but yeah, that type of diet, those people live so much longer. I mean, if we knowingly do things to and with our bodies that we know for a fact make us unfit to either glorify the Lord or even speak of him unto those that know how we treat our bodies, then we're going to be held, you know, accountable for all that. And none of us can make the excuse that smoking or drinking doesn't affect us in adverse ways, or the sickness we now have are not the end result, because lying to ourselves will not lessen the judgment against us. It's just a trick of Satan getting you to believe that, if in fact that's what you're doing. But I would think most within earshot right now don't have issues in that area. But I recall not too long ago talking with a woman who has cancer in her body, telling me that she does not believe the cigarettes that she smokes has anything to do at all with the fact that she has cancer. And so she's going to continue to smoke. I mean, she's trying to quit, but she doesn't think it's a big deal. And I mean, this is how strong the enemy of souls is able to confuse some people. I mean, besides all the scripture and the spirit of prophecy facts regarding tobacco, we have tons of legitimate science confirming that tobacco is a poisonous weed. And worse yet, in the United States of America, they legally place dozens of addictive carcinogens in the cigarettes to keep the customers. Not only did they admit this in a court of law, it was proven that those toxic laden cigarettes kill people and get them so addicted that they know they're dying, they know it's killing them, but they can't stop smoking them. It's amazing. It's the last days. Could you imagine, say, 1,000 years ago, people having cigarettes? No. I mean, it's not as bad now as it was when I was a teenager. A lot of people have, you know, awakened to this. You know, they quit smoking. Praise the Lord. I mean, I was one of them. I smoked. I started at age 9. And the only reason I started so young is because I caught my 16-year-old cousin smoking. And so to prevent him from worrying that I was going to tell on him, he taught me how to smoke. I mean, we have a duty to go forth in these last days. And the majority of the people in the Seventh-day Remnant movement that study the doctrinal as well as the prophetic scripture, we know the Lord is not going to select those of us he cannot trust to work with him in both the spiritual as well as the physical realm that we walk in if we're not walking the way he wants us to walk. Yeah, that vaping thing too. Yeah, good point, brother. I mean, that I put another article on the site this week about people, I mean, vaping is killing people. You know, and just suddenly, out of the blue, it just kills them. Someone could have been vaping for weeks or months, and all of a sudden, boom, it kills them. In order for us to be a church prepared to stand before him as a perfect people, to gain salvation, as well as just to be called the Gideon Band, for that matter, our Heavenly Father demands that our appetites, you know, they need to be cleansed. Is this not something that every Bible reader knows, even if they only read up to Genesis chapter 3, where an Adam and Eve succumbed to the appetite of the flesh by one lousy piece of fruit? We need to cleanse our temples, brothers and sisters. I mean, the indulgence of appetite has proven the last 6,000 years to bring about inept physical weakness to the point mankind, and they prove this scientifically, but you're not going to hear a lot about this in the general media, in the mainstream media. But we got documentation on my site, and Dr. Carl Ball has got videos on this, as well as a fossilized finger of a woman, proving that men were 16 feet tall at one time, and women were 14 feet tall. And I'm not talking deformed, you know, like where you see some of these people that have this growth, the pituitary, no, it's not the pituitary, it's the one by the neck. It keeps them growing. It stops. It won't stop causing them to grow. They get 9, 10 feet tall, but they're all crippled up, walking with two canes. No, no. Back in Noah's day, they were massive. They were perfectly formed just like us. And so, on average, they were 16 feet tall. Now, on this planet, we get people that are in the Netherlands, 5'6" to 4'7" in the tribal people from the Democratic Republic of Congo. And yes, I was shocked to see that when I looked it up online just the other day. I always thought the pygmies of Africa were the smallest people, but they're actually 3 inches taller than those that live in the Congo. I didn't know that, because like when I was a kid, I mean, we had the Encyclopedia Britannica, and that's, I guess they found another tribe or something like that was even smaller. Again, that's not their fault, but it does have, it's just from generation after generation and so on and so forth. And then there were some races that were inherently, normally short. It's nothing against them. It's no big deal. But my reasoning for sharing that has to do with the stature of, because like let's say you would have men that were 16 feet tall in Noah's day, but you would also have men that were 6 feet tall, because that's the way they were. But the diet of mankind, and this includes those that indulged in tobacco to alcohol, has crippled the human race over time. All this deadens the perceptive organs to the point that the Word of God cannot be discerned as easily, because even though people think indulging in such things only hurts a lung or a heart or a stomach or a liver, they all seem to forget the brain. I mean, it's also an organ, and it needs the exact same nourishment. I mean, it's using the exact same bloodstream. It's the organ we think with. And so if that organ, if you smoke, for example, you harm your ability to breathe. But you harm your ability to think as well. I mean, the same holds true for anyone who consumes things that harms any of the organs. I mean, if any organ is harmed, it means the entire system cannot function as it was created to function. And this means even your ability to contemplate or even discern the Word of God is going to be harmed in some way. Now, Christ can overrule all that, of course, when the person finds Christ as Lord and Savior. And this is why you'll see all of a sudden they start getting ready for, his arrival. A lot of people, even myself included, my wife, we were moved by the Holy Spirit many years, decades ago, to quit eating meat, and we didn't really understand why, other than later on we started finding in the Word that the Lord is getting His people ready for the Edenic diet in heaven. And so some of us are just getting ready for that because it helps to get others ready when they look upon us and see how we're not dropping dead because we're not munching on a pork chop or something, because some people think, how do you get your protein? Well, there's a lot more protein in vegetables than there are in meat, and if you don't believe me, ask a brontosaurus or a horse or a cow. They don't eat meat. So now do you see why Christ, by the way, fasted in the desert for those 40 days? He put the flesh in abject submission to His own cognitive will, as all of us should do. In so doing, He was much better to understand His Father's will as you and I can if we too, fast and pray and read the Word and take care of the body temple that He gave us. And by the way, those that don't understand the divine nature proclaimed by the walk of Jesus Christ that shows we too can walk with God like He did, which also means we too can see and understand what He saw, do a study on a man that murdered another man in Egypt, who also indulged in the Egyptian diet for decades, but he then walked away from all that to the point he literally heard the voice of God and literally glowed as he walked off a mountain one day with two tablets of stone with God's law etched on them. Yeah, obviously, I'm sure most of you figured it out that I'm talking about, please don't text me when we're doing a study. Or PM me. It's caused me to lose my train of thought here. Anyway, he walked away from all that, and to the point that he didn't bow to any. He had the ability to understand and hear God's law, word, his voice. And that was Moses, as we all know. And, by the way, science proved a few decades ago, the Egyptians in Moses' day, and Moses himself, they all had the exact same diet as Americans, the obese Americans do today, because they dissected and analyzed the mummies that they found, and they found that they're all dying. All the mummies back then, all the pharaohs and whoever was mummified, died of the same disease as Americans die of today. This includes diabetes, heart disease, all of it, cancer, all of it, because of their diet. And so, if Moses can do it, so can each and every one of us right here in America do it. Now, I would think that most of us haven't murdered someone, because Moses did. He was just as bad as anybody was. And so, if we change our diets and walk in the will of the Lord, we too will see the Lord's hand move in ways prophecy says the Gideon band will see and walk through the seven last plagues without so much as a single boil, and shielded from the noonday sun when plague number four hits. Getting back to the brain, though, were you also aware that indulging in things that weaken it make it that much easier for Satan to tempt us? Ever hear the term garbage in, garbage out? Satan knows exactly what he's doing with those who perverted and made the violent movies and the video games that are out there. There's a reason he did all that. He knows that if we indulge the brain in those areas, we begin to emulate them so much so that we'll be able to count, that Satan will be able to count on us to be part of his Armageddon troops on the very day that he seeks to surround the Gideon band that are obedient unto God. Remember what Paul said to the dear people of Philippi 2,000 years ago? He said this in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. Philippians 4, verses 4 to 9. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding," I mean, can you seriously figure out how he does that? I can't. You know, like when we go through these crazy trials and these intense situations, or we watch loved ones go through them, and yeah, it bothers us and stuff, but we have perfect peace. No anxiety, nothing. It's gone. Because I used to have a problem in that area when I was young. I mean, I hid it a lot because, I mean, come on, you were a guy. You had to hide it. And so the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. In other words, everything will be calm. No matter how, even if you're walking towards a guillotine with blood dripping off of it and some head rolling down the lane because someone just got killed in front of you. Hey, you'll have perfect peace. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But today, I mean, people are into everything from witchcraft to rock music, and they're all confused as to why they got all these problems in their lives. Well, when you give Satan permission to be in your life like that, whether you know it or not, you're giving Satan permission. He has permission to be there. Remember what the Lord told him when he was going up, you know, like in regards to Job? He steered clear of Job for a while for a reason, because he knew he was God's favorite. It wasn't so much God's favorite, but that's the way he was, you know, it was related. But the fact of the matter is, anybody that follows the Lord as it is written to follow him is going to be his favorite. You know, he's no respecter of persons, you know. There's no gray areas. Either he loves you, or you hate him. I mean, he loves everybody enough to create them. It's up to them to choose whether they're going to continue loving him. But brothers and sisters, the temptation to indulge in everything from a perverted appetite to a perverted lifestyle is a direct result of ignoring that which the Word of God says is the express will of the Father for his obedient children who seek a happy and a prosperous life. Jesus fasted so as to show us the danger we face in this holy war that we have been drafted into. Yes, there are many dangers in this warfare that are much more deadly, but none of them can be overcome or even forfeited. Unless we do as Paul shared with the people of Philippi long ago. I mean, everything from what we put in our bodies to what we put into our hearts and minds are significant, because in so doing makes all the difference as to how strong our armor is when we go out into the battlefield against that roaring lion who seeks only who he can devour. He's not looking to hang with you and make this a life fun. I mean, that it may look like that when you light up a joint or crack open a beer, but he knows the end result of you doing those things you declare to be fun and exciting. It will destroy you in hellfire, and that's what gets his blood up. That's what he wants to see you do. That's how he devours. I mean, just look at the homosexual lifestyle, or the man or woman that killed themselves with everything from heroin to crystal meth, shows how far into physical and spiritual perversion this enemy can force some people into that refuse to look into the Word of God as a valid and bold escape from all that is holy, unholy and impure. I mean, think about that. I mean, because they don't have a corner on the market of wickedness any more than a Christian has a corner on the market of holiness, because we're all looking through glasses darkly regardless. But the proof is in the pudding, if you want to put it that way. And what I mean is, they may go out there, like the homosexuals, for example, they may go out there and say that, this stuff doesn't work, Christianity doesn't work. You know, in other words, they're saying it doesn't work for them, but they want company. Misery loves company, and so they're always going to say, yeah, it just doesn't work. And but they can't deny the fact that there are people out there that are walking with Christ wherein it does work. It's just that it doesn't work for those other people because they don't give Jesus Christ a chance any way, shape, or form. They won't give up any kind of sin And even the people that claim Christ Lord in the, you know, Sunday keeping churches or the SDA church or any of those other churches out there that are in open apostasy, they claim Christ Lord. But Isaiah chapter 4 verse 1 is pretty plain. Yeah, they're doing that just to take away their shame. You know, because they know what they're doing is wrong. That's why they're going to read the Bible the way they want to read it and walk the way they want to walk. But they want you to continue calling them Christians to take away their shame. I mean, that's literally what Isaiah chapter 4 verse 1 says. If you take all the prophetic symbols and give them modern day definitions, eating our own bread is reading the Bible. Wearing our own apparel is how they walk. The seven women, that's all the churches. The one man that they're holding on to, that's Christ. But let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. Yeah, that's all the wishy-washy Laodicean churches out there. Adam and Eve fell in indulgence of appetite by seeking just one forbidden fruit. Yet mankind today has thousands of different rotting fruits to pick from, thanks to Satan building his tree of death the last 6,000 years. I mean, to put it plainly, as plain as I know to put it, those people that are slaves to what they claim as pleasures of the flesh will ultimately fail in perfecting Christian character, and they will never be in that number that grows to 144,000. Nor will they even be in that much larger number that die before the plagues begin, who have faith but not a well-honed ability, let's say, to stand in a sinless, to stand sinless in a global vat of sin. You know, when the plagues fall, the time of Jacob's trouble, they're still going to make it to heaven. They just don't have the strength to stand during the plague, and so the Lord allows them to get sick or die by accident or even by a guillotine. It doesn't matter, because you're going to get up again anyway. Billions of unsuspecting Christians who thought they could never lose their salvation, though, in such a time as this, they're going to be weeping and gnashing their teeth, just as Jesus warned. I mean, they can't say that all the prophecies are true except that one, or all the doctrines are true except that one. And no, we cannot blame God for making us weak and fleshly. He blessed us in every way a man or woman could be blessed. But we all chose out the path we did on our own. And we, in fact, yes, we, that's what we do. For we all know what it means to watch the old man die and a new creature emerge once Christ Jesus sends the Comforter to be in us and with us as we tread the sinful world. In fact, it says in Ecclesiastes 7, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 27 to 29. Behold, this have I found, saith the preacher, counting one by one to find out the account, which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not. One man among a thousand have I found, but a woman among all those have I not found. Lo, this is only have I, or this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. In other words, as the Lord looked to and fro on the land we call earth, he saw there are none righteous, no, not one, as Paul echoed this truth in Romans 3. But the truth is, our God made us to be upright, just as it was declared in Genesis 1:26, where it says, God said, let us make man in our image. Which right there proves the Trinity is a lie. You know, because the Trinity says there's only one God. So, but they call it Trinity. Babylon, you know, mixed truth with error, you know. So anyway, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And if you don't believe that's true, go walking out in the woods, and then just sit down on a log and wait 15, 20 minutes. Because all the little critters are going to start coming out, because now all of a sudden you left, even though you're still sitting there. Because if you don't move, they think you're just something that all the, you know, grew. Like a giant mushroom just popped up. Whoa, it's the shape of a human. Let's go over there and sniff it. And so, because I've done that many times in the midday prayer when I used to live up near Chicago, out in the Cook County Forest Preserve, and just sit there. Wait 15 or 20 minutes. Now, granted, if a skunk came out, I start moving. But, you know, with any other animals, they come out, they'll just walk right up to you and start sniffing your shoes, or walk on the log next to you and sniff your arm or something. But the second you move, you know what the Lord said in Genesis 1 comes true. We have dominion You move, and they scatter like they're on fire. He did that so we can have all we need to not just glorify Him, but to have peace and happiness in life. Because if we didn't have that dominion, we'd be lunch for these animals. In fact, Deuteronomy 30, verses 15 and 19 clearly said long ago. Let me see. Yeah, 15 and 19. I think that's where I'm at here. Yeah. It says, Deuteronomy 30, 15 and 19. See, I have set before thee this daily life and good and death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments. And of course, we know the statutes ended at the cross, because this is way before the cross, right? And the statutes and His judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods, because, you know, a cigarette is a god to people. It's an idol. They put that before the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible says, don't destroy the temple. They puff on a cigarette, they're destroying the temple. So again, they were like, if you turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over the Jordan to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. But even though our God made us uprightly in His image, mankind sought out the many inventions put forth by Satan. Like I said a minute ago, we got thousands of rotted fruit to pick from now. I mean, you can see man standing in a sickly body, unable to discern wrong from right today, and especially now in these last days, when so much truth has been presented, so many prophecies have been fulfilled, and so many miracles have been seen, that even with all that evidence to declare unto all that Christ is risen and Christ is soon to come again, the minds and the hearts of men are more apt to clamor after their TV shows, movies, sporting events, drugs, sex, rock and roll, whatever. And, you know, and drugs and alcohol. That's why they all believe in global warming, you know, the climate change thing. It's like I said on my climate change page. It has nothing to do with global warming and everything to do with the return of Christ. But because they don't read their Bibles, they think it's all about global warming. They don't know that all these signs were prophesied. I mean, look what Hosea said about all the animals, the birds, the insects, and the fish dying right before Jesus gets here. And we all know, that those of us that study prophecy knew the weather would get messed up. And it's all happening. But they think it's just climate change. Why? Because that prophecy about peace and safety has to be fulfilled too. And boy, it's really going to be global warming and plague number four, though. That's when the Vatican will probably have their heyday, but it's already too late then, because the minute the plague starts, whoever's unjust can remain that way. But not so for the remnant people, who are going to stand exactly as prophecy declared they would stand. And it is the hope of this final church on earth that as many people as possible come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, who will grant us the blessing to be born again into an upright condition or position that will not bow to the many inventions of Satan, who seeks to kill and destroy and each and every child of God that has been blessed with eternal life, that he forfeited. He forfeited eternal life 6,000 years ago. That's why he ended up in the tree in the Garden of Eden. For if we cannot give up all of the fleshly lusts which war against the soul, as the Apostle Peter declared in 1 Peter 2:11, what will our Lord, Savior, Creator, and God say when our names come up in this investigated judgment we find ourselves in right now? And don't worry, if you sinned yesterday, you know, your sins are forgiven today, if you confess them. I mean, the plagues haven't started yet, right? So, do you recall, though, what the Lord said unto Ephraim thousands of years ago when he was judged? He said this in Hosea chapter 4, verse 17. Because there's a lot of people that are going to get to this point. There's a lot of people out there that think they're Christians. Yet they're doing all these things they really know is wrong. And at the end of the 1,000 years, when that self-deception is wiped away, they're going to know then. That's one of the reasons for all that weeping. They're going to realize, oh, why did I do this when I knew it was wrong? I hid it in the back of my mind to act like it wasn't that bad. It says in Hosea 4:17, Ephraim is joined to his idols. Let him alone. You know, when those plagues start, there's going to be a lot of Ephraims running around. And so, please listen carefully, brothers and sisters. I'm going to close with this. We must have all sins confessed and off our hearts when the plagues begin. They can start next year, 10 years from now, we don't know. But the fact that they're asking for a one world government by 2030, yeah, they could start in 9 years if they get their wish. Because we know what happens with the one world government, right? So, that means, in other words, it's the final prophecy. We must all have our sins confessed and off our hearts when those plagues start. For if we die before that day comes, we will be forever lost. And if we still have those sins when those plagues start, we will be forever lost. For it is plainly declared in Revelation 22, verses 14 and 15. This is the last book of the Bible, last chapter of the book of the Bible, where so many people say that at the cross of Christ, the Ten Commandments were abolished. If that's so, explain this passage, verses 14 and 15. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. That's New Jerusalem. That's heaven. Look at the next verse, though. It talks about who's the ones that aren't getting in. It says, for without are dogs and sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Now, why do you suppose that's there? Well, it's not like murder or nothing. Oh, it's actually worse than murder if you think about it. Who was the first one to declare a lie? He got a third of heaven to fall with him. Satan. He's the father of lies. A lie can cause all sorts of deadly things to happen to people. People can commit suicide believing a lie that someone else says. Or someone can commit murder believing a lie. Someone can destroy. Look at the atheists. They're believing a lie. They're going to be burning in hellfire at the end of 1,000 years. That's why whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Plus, the lie is the very first sin ever committed. Well, maybe the second, because he had that pride thing first. So, I hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. Next Sabbath, we're going to look at the how they were instructed to close out the Day of Atonement. Because that's where we're headed. So, be back in a minute.